This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
You cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw, yeah, it's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and...
Hey, how do we have some... How about we have some champagne, huh, baby? This is evil.
After all, I'm a man, and you're a woman, at least last time I checked.
Work shed.
Yeah. Boy, Bruce Campbell, he's the smoothest fella on the block in this movie.
this is the series we said if was made today would be an absolute fan upheaval over...
Oh, Lord.
Between part one and part two, because it's... Not only do we get a retelling and a different modified origin story... They redo the first film, in a modified tone. And Bruce Campbell went from just one of those background guys, pretty much, to now he's becoming the Ash everyone knows him to be.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is definitely ground zero for like bad pun, body humor. Three Stooges Ash Williams in this movie.
This might be the patient zero for the term known as splat stick.
Absolutely. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, how this was like, this has to be like highly regarded as one of the best, if not the best, horror comedies. And it's got to be in everybody's top five. This is a movie that kind of, was this 87, if yes. I'm not mistaken? Right, so... So it'd been like six, seven years since the first movie, and Sam Raimi got all this money and got KMB involved, and from conceptualization, this was like supposed to be super scary. Like I remember seeing some interview with Greg Nicotero, like, this is the scariest shit I've ever read in my life, and then the way it comes across on camera is so silly and stupid.
Much like how you said, yeah, this is what you wanted Tapehead to initially be. And then when, you get the three of us that actually made that first movie, and like, this is Evil Dead 2. This is not the Evil Dead. But I mean,
it's not a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing at all. But I mean, this has still got some elements to it if you're at least like a novice to the horror genre, or you're really young, because I was still... Mm-hmm. Pretty young, and Henrietta did fuck me up a little bit when I first saw him, her.
Yeah, that and the whole, like, singing the nursery rhyme through the cellar door thing really bothered me as a kid. But going back to where the first film ends, because, 2 weeks ago we had kind of talked about how the way that film ends, it's like Bruce Campbell is dead.
Yep.
So from jump, like, it should be... Bruce is dead, but then we get this 7 years later, this sort of quick rehashing of what happened in the first film. And the way I've always kind of approached it and how I would edit it together as a fan, if I were to cut Evil Dead 1, 2, and 3 together, I would cut the very end of Evil Dead 1 when it's the evil is flying at Ash, and then I would cut that in with Ash flying through all the trees of Evil Dead 2.
On the same OCam spinner, giant spinner.
Yep, so then they just... If you watch it that way, it flows together pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, that way it's fine. Almost like they could... like It's almost a shooting yourself in the foot to insist on doing this origins, how'd he get here thing, which, I mean, that was kind of... I don't know why Elm Street never did that, but I guess that's really kind of a Friday the 13th thing, that previously on kind of thing of what happened in the last movie. But do you think that's why they felt they had to tell us the story again?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. But it's so unnecessary, you know? Like, you don't need a previously on.
No. Shit, especially anymore. Jesus, could you imagine the Marvel movies are trying to do that shit now?
Wow.
That would be...
Yeah,
that,
well, that's like Marvel TV series on, like, Netflix. They always do, like, the previously on. But if they had to do that for every movie, your fucking head would explode.
It'd be a five-hour movie, and 2.5 would be the previously on shit. But, man, yeah, unnecessary, and I firmly believe I will lump this in with my... I wanted to start calling it the Super Mario defense of you will take what the fuck you will take what the fuck we give you, and we're of that generation of like not bitching about how close or not close it is to the source material, because we got a Mario Brothers movie that had hardly fuck all to do with the game,
and nothing.
We have a trilogy of movies here that say fuck you, we'll redo the whole first movie in 4 minutes and change damn near all of it to suit the narrative we're doing this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not forget the fact that there have been like 4 different fucking Lindas.
Yeah.
Now there's like 4 Lindas in 3 movies or whatever. Like it just
it should put a Halloween timeline to shame with how it's doing things. But if for whatever reason you don't know what we're talking about, if you listened to our show last week, we went through the original The Evil Dead, and this film, it starts out retelling the Evil Dead, but this time it's just Ash and his girlfriend Linda, different Linda, deciding that they're going to drive up to the mountains for reasons and hang out. He thinks it's abandoned, but it's not, clearly, because he's finding a tape recorder, listening to it, plays the tape recorder, Linda gets possessed, he's got to decapitate her and bury her, and that's where essentially where the movie takes off on its own, where they really could have just not done that at all and just started from there, because they literally take that ending shot of him getting hit by the Sammo cam to him being on this Sammo cam getting his self possessed, and shenanigans ensue, and more survivors show up, more carnage.
More blood, more carnage. But you know why I think they did it, now that I'm sitting here and actually theorizing, is I think it's a runtime issue. Do you happen to know the runtime of Evil Dead 2? It seems short to me. It's a very snappy movie, like not even quite 90 minutes, like 88 minutes. Doesn't seem like a long film to me.
1 hour, 24 minutes. So, I mean, it's an hour, 24. So it's under 90, but I mean, even if, what would that take out if you're going to exercise
all the Linda stuff? At least 10 minutes.
I mean, it's possible, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. I feel like if that's the only reason, they could have done a lot of things to fill that time up.
Have them opening credits be real slow. Yeah.
Yeah. Slow, slow them fucking credits down. Slow them end credits down. Have a post credit stinger play shit. Film a bit more of him at the end when he goes back in medieval times. I just go with that, which apparently I guess that was supposed to be what he wanted to do straight off with this movie, is just kind of do Medieval Dead from jump, and like, well, let's more or less just redo Evil Dead, but make it not so
DIY, I guess.
I don't know if DIY. I would say not on the banned and video nasties list, because
there you go.
His first one was part of the video nasties, so I think he was brought up on obscenity charges for the Evil Dead,
right?
Which
is fucking bananas.
Definitely a sign of the times when someone can get brought up on charges for making a film, and all these years later, a Serbian film has come out, and no one's been arrested for that shit yet.
Nope. But yeah, I think you and I have done enough deep diving into the Evil Dead franchise that I think that was a conscious decision with Sam Raimi and the effects people in Evil Dead 2 was to make all the blood like fucking neon green or like
fruit
punch.
Any color pink. But solid red.
Yeah, so that it wouldn't get hammered so hard. And, you know, they also took like a very, very Three Stooges-esque approach to the violence in this film, which, like you said, this may very well be the film that coined the phrase or the term splatstick, or at least for you and I. I don't really know that I've heard many other horror podcasts or whatever use that term. Maybe we're the first.
I'm positive somewhere that the guy, that someone in the production team named it that, because I know I sure as shit didn't come up with it. I know I pulled it from somewhere, and I feel like it's from the source material is where that originated. But yeah, whole lot of deep diving we've done on this. I know we both own really nice editions of the Blu-ray with all the bonus features on it, which, man, another movie I would say we put right up there with having quality bonus features as far as like just the K&B home video footage of them.
Oh, yes.
In this, because they shot all this, all their effects and stuff. They just moved into a high school.
Like a big gymnasium of the high school, right?
And then the gymnasium was where they set up the entire house, the cabin. But like the science lab was where they had like their workstations and shit. And all kinds of different rooms were where like the principal's office, I think, was where Rob Tappert's personal office was. And I think there was times where like they would be going in and trying to take K&B's like effects out and use it for shots when they weren't there. So K&B would be booby trapping the doors, like the fucking pail of water on the door thing. So, so someone would like, yeah, if you're trying to get in and use our shit, well, we're not here. We're going to know about it.
Can we just take a minute to just put yourself in the shoes of the people making Evil Dead 2 and think how fucking cool it would be to have the run of a fucking abandoned high school building for months on end, like a whole
summer. I think an unair-conditioned, like,
ooh, well,
I don't know. Well, I'm not sure if it was unair-conditioned. I'm thinking I might be mixing up with the actual guys, like where they stayed, like at a house that had no AC in it in summer. So I know, like in a sense, they were miserable, but I mean, they all talk super fondly about it because how could you not with this fucking all-star team of effects guys with K&B and Mark Sjostrom there?
Yeah. Well, and you can really tell when you watch this movie the amount of fun that was had creating it. Like, I really think that the reason the first Evil Dead's tone is so miserable and somber and feels gross is because the cast and the crew all felt that way. You know, they were ice cold. They had no idea what they were doing. They were shooting long hours. They were getting on each other's nerves, and people were walking off the set and coming back, and people were breaking in and stealing shit. And then you have Evil Dead 2, where it's like, it's essentially like a rock concert every day. You got all these long-haired, hippie fucking rocker effects guys, and you got Sam Raimi.
It feels like a punk show. It feels like an indie punk band. Yeah, I would say the key, like a key word for the first Evil Dead is exhaustion. That's what comes across is exhaustion. And yeah, I would like punk rock would be probably what part two is. Cause, I mean, you literally are seeing back behind-the-scenes footage of Howard Berger lying on a skateboard, kicking a shed door open while he's puppeteering the headless corpse of Linda with the chainsaw, which, I mean, I would love to see this in a theater because, you know, some people would show up that have never seen the movie, and I'd love to know what the reaction is when he goes for that chainsaw and this headless corpse just rolls into the work shed.
Oh, it's so good. Also, shout out to Howard Berger's hair back in 1987. Oh my God,
with that mustache? Good Lord.
Dude.
Dude belonged on romance novels.
Yeah, first of all, for any of the uninitiated who don't know about K&B, obviously everybody knows about Kurtzman now. Kurtzman is kind of running shit. He worked on Evil Dead and everything. But
Nicotero is like...
Or Nicotero, yeah, that's what I mean, Nicotero. So
Kurtzman is like the second. I would say Berger is like the third most well-known of them, but he definitely has the gnarliest handlebar mustache today.
Oh, for sure.
It looks so cool. It is solid, like black, and then gray tips on the end of it. Like Hulk Hogan style Fu Manchu, but they're gray tips on the end of this thing. It looks badass. I hope to look that rad.
One day. But, you know, Nicotero now, when you see him, he's very, like, reserved and clean cut, got, like, a nice haircut, and always kind of wears, like, a blazer.
Is his hair cut now? I thought his hair was
still long. He's got kind of shorter, more reserved haircut, and looks kind of like a distinguished gentleman when you see these newer interviews with him. But if you just want a blast from the past, throw on any of these Evil Dead 2 special features and just look at, like, the sleeveless shirts, the hair down to the ass. Like, these guys were, like, look like they belong in Poison or Motley Crue or some shit, and they're just fucking spilling blood everywhere.
Definitely a different look than Chase from New Nightmare as far as a special effects guy looks like. And if you're not a special effects, like, behind-the-scenes fanatic and you want to know what Greg Nicotero looked like on camera back then, he's the guy, he's the other biker guy that has the dispute over the beer with Tom Savini and From Dusk Till Dawn, and I'm pretty sure he's just wearing his fucking regular ass clothes in that scene.
I'm sure he probably was.
But there's your good eyeball full of what Greg Nicotero looked like. Howard Berger looks pretty much the same, you know, less hair on top of his head, but he's got that rockin' Fu Manchu. Yeah, I would say just Nicotero looks like he's kind of matured, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to put it.
Mark Sjostrom looks exactly the same.
Yeah, Mark Sjostrom will never change the way
he... I think he's still wearing the same glasses he was wearing in 1987.
Mark Sjostrom now just looks like Garth. Like, you know,
I mean, like,
he was
Garth.
The younger version of Garth, and now he's the old Garth.
Yeah. I would love to meet Mark Sjostrom. He seems like a real oddball character.
Yeah, we would definitely be bending his ear for a while. But before we jump back into all of the crazy plot points and all of that stuff with Evil Dead 2, I want to go ahead and get my Brown Panty Award out of the way. Which, to be honest with you, I never really cared a great deal for this character until you let me listen to Evil Dead the Musical. And that kind of changed my perspective. And I got to give it to good old reliable Jake, because he's the inspiration for the Shamrock Shake. I love me some Danny Hicks.
You know, if I'm watching the movie, and just in the movie sense, I totally want to give mine to Sarah Barry for, one, her an excessively awesomely huge jawline, which looks like she's a deadite already in the making.
Her Susan Blue-esque mullet.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, she's such a Pure as the Driven Snow type, and was hoping she would make it. But after meeting Danny Hicks, and that he's no longer with us, it's hard not to give it to him. So if I'm watching the film based on just the film, Sarah Barry. But in any other sense, it's Danny Hicks, because goddamn, did that guy know how to give you an impression and make you feel like you were the most important person to him that day.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was a total sweetheart. And I know that when he passed away, that hit us both pretty fucking hard.
Wouldn't have hit probably as hard if we had not met him, like, what, a year, 2 years at most previously?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, he really found a way to make you feel special. And he had he would have like a lengthy conversation with you, and you did just kind of get the sense. Yeah, you just kind of got the sense like we're buddies, even though, you know, he's not going to remember that conversation in 10 minutes, but like he makes you feel like you're buddies for sure.
He makes you feel like you will definitely, after you've met him, you immediately like, I want to go watch one of his movies right now just to appreciate him more. Because you felt valued in your time with him, and it felt like an old friend, not someone you just met. Unlike Ted Raimi, who's a nice guy. He was an all right guy, but very businesslike in a sense about his meet and greet. So it's like, yeah, I met Ted. Eh, he's all right. Danny Hicks. Ooh, everyone could take lessons. Everyone could take lessons on meeting and greeting fans from Danny Hicks.
Yeah. Also, sidebar on that, when we met Danny Hicks and we met Ted Raimi, also right next to Danny Hicks was Bobby Joe, Cassie DePavia. And she was amazing and wonderful as well. And actually kind of blew my wig back because
I never got to meet her. Every time I went over there, she was never at her table.
Oh my God. So we walk up and, you know, of course you want to talk Evil Dead 2. Well, I see on her banner that she was in the remake of We Are What We Are, which is a movie that I absolutely love. And it never connected with me that she was in that movie. So while I was standing there, I had like the total like noob thing. And I go, you were in We Are What We Are? And she's like, yeah, I played the mom. And it clicked in my head and I went, you sure fucking did. And I was like, I really like that movie. And she's like, yeah. She's like, it was really good. And, you know, I didn't work on it for very many days. But, like, we had this whole conversation about her, like, she dies in the goddamn opening credits of that movie. And she had a lot of fond memories of working on that film and what that film became. And that's one of those movies I still keep pushing on you. Like, one day, dude, you got to sit down. You got to watch this because it's phenomenal. But
One of these days I'll get to it. I'm just... older I get, the more I'm just becoming Clint Eastwood and like, I don't need any more of the new shit. Just give me the shit I already know. I don't want any new stuff. Fun side bit, though, that I learned in her big opening scene that she has in the movie, which I want to ask you about her relationship with Jake in a bit. But did you know what it was she had that she was chewing on in her scene where she's supposedly spitting out like tobacco juice?
Is it black licorice? I don't know.
Is it brownie?
Really?
They're like, just eat a bit, like a little bit off a brownie, and when you spit, it'll look brown, so it'll look like tobacco, like you're like chewing tobacco.
That is that's Sam Raimi right there.
But I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the relationship with her and Jake? Is that a platonic relationship? Is that a intimate relationship? Or is that a...
That's her uncle, and it's intimate.
Is it an uncle? Because
I don't know. It feels gross to me. That's all I can tell you.
Since day one I saw it, I always looked at it as a longing relationship. Like, she is not with Jake. She made us be with him just... because, I don't know, maybe he's got the truck. I don't know, but yeah, she is
loaded.
She's not having anything to do with Jake, and Jake's like, oh, what do I got to do to talk you into this? Which is why he's
I
so,
don't know, man.
Which to me makes sense why he's so freaked out. Like, where's Bobby Joe? I gotta go find her. That's my only ticket to some poontang.
You know, I had never really thought of it, but I think it just feels like a gross relationship, like they might be related. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on there. I've never thought about them being related. That's a whole different spin on things now. Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
The things that happen early in the morning on the Deep Cut Podcast.
That's what we're here for, is to enlighten the other one on possibilities. I always just saw it that one particular way of just like, he's just... wants to break down, he wants to get out the friend zone, and he's stuck in the friend zone. But
yeah, I don't know, man.
What's your thoughts on the rest of this new cast rolling in?
You know, they're okay. I always have a hard time remembering people's names in this movie, even though I've seen this movie a billion goddamn times. Like the blonde fella who ends up turning into the super cool looking deadite.
Associate Professor Ed Gettley.
Yeah, Ed, okay. Yeah, I never remember his name. Don't care. Like, he's just he's meat for the beast, you know, but he definitely has one of the coolest looking deadites in the franchise, with all the extra rows of teeth.
Extra rows of teeth.
Things like that.
And they're like, and he couldn't close his mouth once they put it in there. Like, I can't close my mouth. Like, it's cool. You don't need to. It looks great. Like, but I can't close my mouth. You don't need to, Ed.
No.
Just suck it up.
I was going to bring it up to you. Obviously, this second one has a bigger budget and was able to do a lot more on camera.
Had a budget of $3,600,000. I don't know what that comparison is in 2022 numbers. Maybe I'll look that up to see how much money that is today.
But I was just going to ask you, comparatively, when it comes to the look of the Deadites, across the board, all four films, you know, remake included, which film hits your acquired taste for the look of the Deadites?
Ooh. I mean, depends on what my criteria is. If I'm going by the creepiest looking ones, I would say a combination of The Evil Dead and Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go with the silly aspect, and then I want to go with just Army of Darkness, just a shitload of skeletons that are just goofy. So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a mixture.
Right. It's kind of so whatever mood you're in.
So a callback to the budget. So in today's coin, it would be a little over $9 million for a budget on this film, which, man, could you imagine Tapehead on either $3 or $9 million?
The things I would be able to do would blow your mind.
We're hiring Mark Sjostrom.
Yeah, we are. Which, you know, speaking of things that kind of got an upgrade and, you know, different looking things, but we still managed to kind of dip our toe back into that stop motion animation. We bring back Tom Sullivan for a few sequences in this film.
We have a better looking Book of the Dead, I feel.
Absolutely.
Like, to me, this is the definitive look for the book.
Yeah, it really is. This is the one that you think of. This is the one that everyone's got tattooed on them. This is what gets drawn. But, you know, this movie did this really good job of taking the things that we were familiar with the first film and then kind of upping the ante. Like, there's a few shots specifically in this movie, like when Ash's girlfriend's hand comes out of the grave. Like, the way that that's the way that that's shot, to me, feels like, you know, a set piece and a miniature, forced perspective type of thing. Like, there's something about it that's not quite grounded in reality. And that's one of the things that Sam was really experimental with back in the day, was like you said, with the moon, you know, this is a matte fucking shot of the moon or whatever, or we'll mix in stop motion with forced perspectives or miniatures. And it's such a unique flavor in this movie.
Even like some of the weird choices. And like, just to stick on the Linda scenes, like after she's beheaded and he's burying her, just the, like, it's not like, it doesn't look like dirt that he's digging up. It looks like,
it's like coal or something.
Yeah, coal or rocks or something. It doesn't look natural. It looks weird. And like, why did they go with that choice of this? And you can hear it. It sounds like he's just shoveling rocks. Like black's like those fancy rocks you pay like $10 for a bag of at Target to line up and make shit look cool. It just looks like that's all is that he's burying her in. And up till the point where her severed head falls in his lap and bites him on the hand, it's still the Evil Dead to me.
Oh yeah.
Like everything that happens still feels in that first movie's universe. And then once that hand is bitten by this severed head, and he's as soon as he knocks over the chair with the head, there's your moment where it's a different film.
Yeah, your tonal shift, because it definitely Ash goes from being a nobody to being this weird, like, bumbling I don't know what you call him, because he's so likable.
It's bumbling, but it's a weird connection that at least I feel like we have, because it feels like if we were in that situation, what we would do. Like, just knock it on a chair, grab a book, and start beating the shit out of it with the end of a book. Like, it just seems very logical. Like, if I was in that situation, it's probably how I would be reacting the same way.
Yeah, for sure. And you're definitely not wrong about that complete 180 tonal shift. Although, it does, like, make a tonal shift, but then every once in a while, we kind of reel back into Evil Dead 1 scare territory.
And yeah, it's not as stark as, like the
Army of Darkness.
I was gonna say like the Welcome to Prime Time bitch scene. Like,
oh, okay.
It kind of takes a different turn, more into the popcorny realm out than the scary realm for Nightmare on Elm Street. Here, yeah, like that's your first sign of things are gonna be more fun here, mm-hmm. but they don't go full on that way yet. They kind of ease you in a little bit, like the whole Henrietta bit is. Henrietta's pretty terrifying from Jump Street. They offset it mildly with Ash's scream, which is great. Again, right there next to Mark Patton, great natural, I feel, screams. Macho dudes screaming like that is probably accurate.
But yeah, with that tonal shift, that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up was it's almost like immediately following, right? So we have the workshed sequence and then we have the hilarious dummy crashing into him. We get all this cool stuff, and then we come back into the cabin, and then we have, to me, whenever I think of Evil Dead as a whole, this is one of the sequences, top five sequences across the board, when he looks at himself in the mirror, and he's like, you're fine. And then his reflection grabs him by the throat and is like, we just cut up our girlfriend with a chainsaw. Does that sound fine? Like, that freaks me the fuck out. That's very Evil Dead 1 flavor. But then we just, we dip into Evil Dead 1 flavor, and then we go back to geysers of blood shooting out of the wall and a hand that flips him off and crawls around. And
see, that hand, I feel, is a 50-50 split. Up to a point, like his hand becoming possessed, it looks, they do the spider webbing just like the ankle from the first one, so that ties back. And then I always remember when his hand is possessed, I mean, him getting beat the shit with at the sink is hilarious.
So
and they call Bruce the king of acting in reverse and flipping himself. Like, he would just do that stuff. He was Jim Carrey before Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And when he's unconscious and his hand is pulling his whole body forward to get a hold of
Meat cleaver?
Yeah, the meat cleaver. It always, like, I feel it's a split reaction sequence. Because it's got some silliness when he comes up and he stabs his own hand. But I feel it's, like, and my dad would always react like, oh man, that's horrible. Could you imagine that? When he grabs his chainsaw, starts it with his mouth, and we cut, and it's, you couldn't cut it or film it any better of a way, is you zoom out of the hand, you don't see him cutting his hand off, you just get this geyser, this slow geyser of like splatter blood just hitting him in the face.
The noise that the chainsaw makes right there always stood out to me, too.
Not the noise the chainsaw makes to me. The noise he makes. The, like when he's...
Who's laughing now?
The last, like, sound that he makes before they cut away, that, I feel that pain. Like, we've all made that sound, like... You, like, bust your, like, shin on something or bash your elbow. You're like, like, you can feel it.
Motherfucker.
You can feel that pain reverberating through your body. You're like, So that choice of that, how he conveyed that pain to us felt very real. And then, yeah, we completely take a left turn and make it silly as shit when the hand is just severed, looks cut way further back on the wrist than it should have been. And he puts a Farewell to Arms book as a weight on top of a trash can to hold it in place.
Yeah. And then what follows after that is the most Looney Tunes of Looney Tunes sequences ever. You know, shooting at the wall and the blood flying out and like, you know, it's like Speedy Gonzales or something. The old like mouse holes, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Fucking, that's what it reminds me of.
Again, Dad had a fucking killer line there. He just starts laughing when that geyser of blood starts hitting him in the face. He goes, man, it must have hit a vein.
Got to drain the main vein, son.
I guess that was one of the last, like, I think that was the last thing they shot for the film was those all those holes of the holes of the fake blood shooting out was like the last thing they shot. Cause I think they just let it rip and just saturate everything. And that there's another thing that like they're fairly consistent. I mean, they're consistent with the scratches that are on Bruce's face. But man,
yeah. But continuity does not matter.
The continuity is nowhere near a thing with the amount of different colors of blood that he is splattered with in this movie, from black to white.
Yeah.
To pink.
Well, he'll be like completely soaked, and then he'll take a step towards the camera, and then the next frame when he passes the camera, he's like bone dry. You know, and that's totally fine. And we even inadvertently did that in our first Evil Dead, or Evil Dead, in our first take.
In our first Evil Dead, yeah. It is our first Evil Dead.
It truly is, because when I'm getting murdered with the hammer, Tapehead is completely soaked in blood, and then he turns up, or stands up, turns around to fight you, and he's bone fucking dry. Why?
Because we filmed that shit backwards.
Yeah, you could say we made a mistake in the editing room, or maybe we were paying a tribute to Evil Dead 2.
Or if you want the behind the scenes, we just filmed my fucking fight sequence before we filmed Roger's death sequence.
We fucked up. We absolutely fucked up.
Like, just coat him in blood, and like, and literally not think of it until like, shit.
Oops.
Well. We done broke our balsa wood table. What else are we going to do?
Yep, I don't know. CGI, we'll fix it in post. Just give him a red hue.
Yeah. So we get another complete body dismemberment that is... Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head that was really cut. And I don't remember why it was necessarily cut down, but I know there was scenes where Ed gets possessed, Ash hits him with the axe, and like severs half of his head off, and you're supposed to see like a little tiny brain that's got a bunch of spider webbing inside of it, and there's behind the scenes footage of it.
I've got a Fangoria with that, with a picture of that in there.
Yeah, and too, then
so.
And then there's a shot where a bunch of his parts are on the ground, and they're all like one eye's blinking and like an arm and leg are moving. And we don't really see that in the movie. That's
right.
We see off-screen just green blood splattering psycho style off all the shit in the cabin.
Yeah.
Which disappears also.
The MPAA
later.
Just has a problem with like twitching body parts, or like, I remember there being something with Scream, like they couldn't show the blood dripping off of Stu's hand. You could hear it after they stab each other and they're like in the kitchen, but you couldn't show active blood like running out of his wounds, dripping. But you could hear it dripping, but they cut that out. Like weird shit like that. Like why the MPAA doesn't allow certain things will always boggle me.
I mean, seeing it in real life is unnerving, so maybe that's the reason. I remember seeing that shit on that mass transit ECW thing where that hefty dude who wasn't supposed to be in the ring, but like New Jack cuts this dude across the forehead, and there's a shot where he's like leaning forward, and it looks like you just tipped over a pitcher of Hawaiian Punch. Like, it's unnerving to see it rush out the way it does in real life. So maybe somebody just has some PTSD over the real shit, and they're like, I don't want to see that shit running like that. Hearing it's fine. Seeing it's another thing.
That's so weird. But, you know, I mean, the MPAA, especially in 1987,
man, we're at the height. Because we're talking Elm Street 3, Friday 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, like you had said previously, Sam Raimi had to go to court for like how violent Evil Dead was.
You could get arrested in some countries over in the UK for just owning the Evil Dead.
Which, wrap that, get that floating around the old strudel noodle. Like, that's fucking crazy, dude. Like, just being like, I have a copy of Evil Dead. We'll put you in jail.
That fucking... That's some 1984 shit to me, man. straight up.
Fucking wild.
But I did forget to go back to that opener. They did reshoot. The reason they reshot everything is because they just lost. They didn't have the rights to that footage anymore. So
different movie company or something, or
yeah, I know it was a whole issue with the production company or whatever. Same reason, like there's some footage I want to say not from 2 that's in 3 opener, or maybe it's just from 1 to this one. But I know that's why they redid all the shooting there, but still doesn't give me a reason as to them just going with doing that at all. They could have just, yeah, like we talked about, just jumped straight into Ash getting
thrown through
that wheel thing. Like, shit, you could even back it up to it just coming at him through the cabin kind of a thing. Like, you could just back it up a minute and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Whatever. They didn't want to do the hatchet thing to start out in mayhem like Hatchet 2 does. Yeah.
Yeah. How the second movie, we actually kind of dip our toe into Ash being possessed by the Deadites, even though nothing really comes of it. I guess
the power of love overcomes yeah. being possessed.
It is not even love. They don't even fucking know each other. So it's so weird. Like,
I mean, no, he loves and misses Linda.
Oh, well, yeah, the Linda thing, but then, like, they do kind of shoehorn in, like, he's quickly starting to fall for what's-her-name a little bit. There a little bit.
It's a possibility. It's like, this could be something at some point, maybe, you know, when I'm ready to move on, but we don't know if he's there yet. No, he just misses Linda, and they do the same thing in both movies. They do this where that necklace, which is supposed mm-hmm. to be it's a magnifying glass, which... To me and everyone probably out there going, what the fuck is that? Why a magnifying glass necklace? What's the significance of that?
It was the 70s, man.
I know in the first movie that was supposed to be a key component to how he destroyed the book somehow, like maybe using it to get it to catch on fire or something. So I know that was the logic behind picking that particular design, but I like how in both movies they find it on the floor and the chain is always done in the design of a skull.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice little hidden Easter egg for all those Evil Deadite fans out there. I guess just look at the chain, it's a fucking skull. Isn't that cool? That's what you whisper next to your significant other when you're in the theater watching it, like, see, it's a fucking skull.
Yep, you see that?
How wet are you right now?
I'm blowing your mind.
That butthole better be wet with my Evil Dead 2 knowledge.
Whoa, wet butthole. We
owe
went there.
It all to 3B video.
We will get your significant other's buttholes wet.
Absolutely. That knowledge will just pan his drop. It's very nice. Boy.
So also I wanted to kind of go back to talking about how they built the interiors for the cabin in this gymnasium. And for the most part, it's fucking eerily similar to the original Evil Dead cabin. Like,
oh yeah, it could fool me.
Yeah. To me, like when you watch it, I don't immediately think that's a set, and that's a telltale sign of a good set. When I know that it's a set and I still am like, it's a cabin, right? And the only time that that's even remotely the veil is pulled back is during the evil, or whatever you want to call it, is chasing Ash, and there's one shot because it's all a oneer, but the camera looks a little too high to the ceiling, and I mean, you really got to be paying attention to be like, I see no ceiling, you know.
Yeah, I see a gymnasium ceiling. Between this and People Under the Stairs, give me a real, like, misconception or idea of how much wall space there is between walls in a house, because yeah. there's enough room for Ash to get through.
Yeah, that's not real life.
Yeah, if Die Hard and Phantom of the Mall gave me an unrealistic idea of air ducts, this and People on the Stairs gave me an unrealistic idea of the space in between the walls in a house.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like, it's kind of like an ongoing joke. Like, I mean, they even kind of, it doesn't have anything to do with Evil Dead, but like in National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon, like, Emilio Estevez's camper is fucking gigantic on the inside.
It's a mansion on the inside.
Yeah. And you almost get that sense when you watch both Evil Dead films, is like, how big is this place really? Like, you know, because for all intents and purposes, right, it should be like one giant open room and a bathroom, really.
Yeah.
Like, but if you look at the, you know, it should be a big open living room / kitchenette and a bathroom. But in the first Evil Dead, there's clearly multiple bedrooms.
Yeah, there's back bedrooms. It feels a little bit bigger, the upstairs does, in the first movie compared to this one. And then you have the basement, which, fuck, I feel it goes on forever. And there's so many pipes down there.
How many rooms have water in this cabin?
every room has at least 17 pipes going through it. And they're all just like, who did all this plumbing work out here? apartment complexes, I don't feel, are this complicated with their with their plumbing setup. But this cabin is just crazy. And I remember that being a big tension scene the first time I watched it, is after he's geared up, they somehow, in this dilapidated shed in the fucking woods, are able to construct a chainsaw to have a porthole on it you can jam a nub into.
The old nub hole.
I don't know what the fuck is he. How is he revving it? Because he's not. It revs on its own. He has no. He's not pulling no triggers on that shit, unless they wired it into his tendons or something.
But bull tendons.
But aside from that, when he's creeping up on that light behind a curtain, I feel like for the first time I watched it, I was like, "Oh shit, that's the witch's like bedroom or whatever." Like he's gonna creep up and get her, and even like. He's revving the chainsaw, but they kind of take all the audio out of that scene and are just like pumping in like this tense music, and reveals, of course, nothing. Then you get a jump scare of a Jake's corpse still wearing the overalls, which I thought was always funny. And then you get one of my wife's like greatest terrors of him walking backwards upstairs and then Henrietta popping out from underneath the steps to grab his feet.
Like oh, that, yeah, and he fucking face plants.
He face plants, but that is one of her biggest fears, is like going down a flight of stairs and something's waiting for you behind the stairs that you don't see.
Oh, there's something subconscious there. But we gotta talk about Henrietta, but first I wanted to kind of bring up there's an element in this movie that's kind of not really talked about, and that's... when Jake discovers that Bobby Joe has run off, it's the Professor Nobe sequence in this movie where it's no one ever really brings this up. Like, this is the thing that you just kind of gloss over when you talk about Evil Dead 2. You talk about everything else, but
it's kind of shoehorned in.
It really is. Like, they go to investigate this back bedroom where there's like lightning happening, apparently. And What was that?
The fucking bee in here. I was like, what the fuck is that buzzing? Holy shit!
Sweets to the sweet. Evil just got attacked by a bee during the podcast.
Literally, like, I was just to the right of me. I was like, is my phone on vibrate? Is my phone buzzing? No one should be fucking messaging me. The only guy I talked to is right here across from me. And like, fucking bee rolling past. Like, what the fuck? Jesus, that scared the shit out of me. Go on. Tell me more about Professor Nobe again. Now I'm paranoid.
I was just curious, because I don't know how they did this, but I have a idea. I feel like they literally just projected that footage onto the wall and they're reacting to it in camera. But I was curious if you had some sort of idea.
You know, I've never even thought about it till just now when you're like, how do you think they filmed that? I'm like, fuck, I don't know. I thought you were going to go with the, like, what the hell happened to him? Because
yeah, he's just in between heaven and hell or whatever. And
yeah, because we get in backstory that him and his wife showed up to the cabin. His wife Henrietta gets possessed. He has to kill her, and he doesn't dismember her. He doesn't have the heart to, so he just buries her in the fruit cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have no idea what the fuck happens to him. And it's been presumably a week. Just right. Of time passed, because that's the last time Ed talked to him before he went up to the cabin. So it's been in less than a week. This is how much shit has gone south, and we have no idea what happens to the professor. He's just clearly dead, but we have no right. idea what happened to him. Straight up like a Resident Evil game. Like when you get to that point of like, what are we supposed to do now? Oh, this is our mission: collect the pages of the book to send the evil back. That's what we got to do. So he's the helpful ghost. What's his name? Pascal from Pet Sematary, trying to tell us what to do.
Yeah, because we get this one sequence with him, and then nothing else. Like, we never go back into that bedroom to check and see if he's still in there fucking ooh boogie boogieing. Like, because that's when we discover the severed hand was holding Bobby Joe's hand, so she takes off into the woods, and we get the...
Not tree rape, tree rape.
Yeah, the much more reserved tree rape. It's more like tree drag you into its roots. Like it like,
I mean, it looks cool. It's higher production. Like we get some some vines that are like going through her cheekbones and stuff. So it feels in a way more visceral than the original did. But yeah, we get it. I remember when that scene was coming up, I was like, oh gosh, I hope they're not going to do that whole tree rape again thing. And luckily they don't. They kind of go around it in a more acceptable way, I suppose. But
yeah,
nobody looks like a ghoul in his post-death look. Like,
yeah, he looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like a guy who hosts like a creature feature on like public television.
He looks like the dude that's in the This Is War skit from Tales of Halloween.
Oh, yep, exactly. Yep.
That's exactly what he looks like in his ghoul-looking fortune-telling spot. I'm not even sure if it's the same actor. I'm curious it even is, if that's a different guy. Because I didn't feel like it's the same guy.
No, it's probably fucking Sam Raimi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably just
Ted,
one of them.
Ted, play this.
Do this for me.
But speaking of Ted, the man who put through more hell probably than Bruce Campbell, Ted Raimi as Henrietta, man, just abuse.
I was going to say, it wasn't until I was like 15 or 16 that I found out that Henrietta was played by Ted Raimi. Even though, you know, all I had to do was pay attention to the fucking end credits. Like,
you didn't that back then. You just, like, that's reading. That's school shit. We don't do that.
Readings for nerds, man.
Yeah, but you find all that stuff later when after you know it, they're like, oh, you can see it clear as day.
Oh, and yeah,
apparently this dude was just buckets of sweat in this full body suit. And one instance where I feel it totally works to the benefit, much like in Taphead, when sweat played into effect that was unintentional, there's a shot where he's flying in the air and he's got a hold of girl's hair. And he turns to Ash, and he's like sideways. His head is sideways up in the air, and he does a battle cry scream at Ash. And you just see all this liquid pouring out of his ear hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gross, and it's effective, and looks awesome. Not intentional, just his head sweat pouring out of this hole.
It's so good.
It's good, but it's like, ugh.
Yeah, you know, what's that smell like?
Ted lost probably 20 pounds just in water weight.
For sure. Well, he's covered, you know, head to toe in that, and it was foam, like rigid foam latex, which,
yeah.
You know, silicone doesn't breathe either, but like having, just imagine having like your couch cushions, like all fucking taped to you. Like, because that's pretty much it, you know? And then the more you sweat, the heavier that foam gets. you know, because it's just, it's a sponge. It's just absorbing it until you can cut it off.
And you get 1987 bright-ass production lights on you the whole time.
Yeah. 4,000 people in the room.
Yeah, in the summertime. Probably, if even if it is air-conditioned, it's not... Well, because it's probably the same shit we had to deal with of like, well, it picks up on the mics. We crank it too high, so it's got to be at a nice, steady 85 degrees.
I have learned from my mistakes, and when we film the new tape head, the air-conditioned hum is going to be part of that room tone. that's just how it is, son.
This is that ambiance.
Ominous. Yeah. It's ominous air conditioned noise in the subtitles. But yeah, Ted Raimi, like you said, put through the fucking ringer in this movie. The most extensive makeup out of all the characters. It's so big and bulbous, and like they had like sandbags or something for the boobs and the, you know, for the undulating tummy and just
something like that. And it all looked good. And apparently, one of those scenes, he got sand in his eyes, like in between his eye and the full, because we're still doing those full eyeball contact lenses that blind you. So yeah. He was like just screaming in pain from sand and shit in his eyes, and it's family. So sand was like, fucking toughen up, buddy.
Yeah, fucking buddy. Those lenses, I always forget. They've got a very specific name. It starts with like an S.
Pain. Or sinful.
It's like
shit.
I want to say Scolari, but that's not right. Because no, that's the Scolari brothers.
Yeah, those are two murdering brothers that got the death penalty in New York.
Right.
But maybe they had a side business of constructing contact lenses for low budget films.
It's too fucking early for me to remember the name of those fucking full glass contact lenses.
Scabies contact lenses.
Yeah. Motherfuckers.
You'll really regret your purchase.
For sure. But yeah, we've ranted and rambled for almost an hour about the second Evil Dead. Is there anything else you want to cover before we move on to our next segments, Evil?
Man, well, we recover the 3,000-year-old pages, which surprisingly they don't just disintegrate when you hold them. Apparently they can just withstand the water and moisture of this basement and this fucking shack cabin. He gets time travel. The evil gets manifested, which is underwhelming to me. I feel like when the...
So wait, let's go back. When that evil is manifested and it comes through the cabin door, do you think that's what, like, the POV camera, like, chasing him, do you think that's what it's supposed to look like?
I assume that's what it looked like, yeah.
Like a fucking McDonald's Playhouse tree.
It looked like
a big head.
It looked like a mold of Bruce Campbell's head just covered in goo. And then, you know, had his other little, like, mini heads all around it kind of a thing. Yeah, that's what I figured it looked like. And then you got this tree looking. I feel like it's... They should have just... I feel once the tree started attacking, I feel you didn't really need that. I felt you probably could have got... I would have done a little bit of the trees uprooting and attacking the cabin. But I would have... like not bothered with that big head that comes through, which they
don't
also
like that big head.
Nah, like I feel like I'm fatigued a little bit. Like the Henrietta battle was good. I feel like that's your big boss fight there. Okay. And I feel like the continuing after that is like, you didn't really need that. I would have Henrietta's destroyed. The trees start attacking. She finishes it right quick. The vortex starts up. The hand stabs her in the back. He gets sucked in. I wouldn't bother with the face that comes through, which apparently that was a stop motion thing when Ash is looking at it and that streak of gray hair, Nancy style, appears on him.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was like hand done, like frame by frame to put this gray hair that just shoots across, which disappears when we get to Army of Darkness. It's not doesn't have that continuity like Nancy's gray streak does.
No, you don't need it. It was fun. It was fun. It was the sight gag, and everyone forgot about it by the time we made the next one, which was 5 years later or something, 4 years later.
Yeah, from 87 to 92. But yeah, we get him sucked into the evil, which is another weird sequence of him just, like that shot of him just flying through, like, lights.
Yeah.
I like that. And the violin music, I was like, weird. I'm like, okay, but kind of weird. And then the... full disclosure, my youngest, big fan of the Evil Dead franchise. Literally within the last probably 2 months, I finally sat her down to watch Evil Dead 2. She's still not watched the first one yet. That one I'll wait a little while longer.
Yeah. It's a little stiffer.
But she watched Evil Dead 2 recently, and we get to that end sequence where the car, a couple of look like potted plants, but they're trees, I guess, and ash fall from the sky in medieval times. As soon as that car smashes into the ground, she goes, "That thing's never going to run again." I'm like, oh, you don't know the power of a Delta.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
But I was also curious if you ever thought this, too, when you saw it. Because Ash's hair is like, it looks like it's been styled with oil this whole movie. Oh, this looks wet and jet black. And when he falls into the medieval times and he's laying on his back in the dirt, he looks like Mel Gibson in fucking Thunderdome, laying there, like, covered in dirt and shit. Like, shit, we just go full Mad Max? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's completely a very stark comparison, because he was, like, all wet and covered in blood and had, like, the old outsider's hairdo. And then he's just all fucking, like, dried out and covered in, like, white sand.
Yeah, and also this is... And we have a quick scene of daylight early on, which is a good, like, kick you in the nuts sensation when he's trying to fucking jet out of this place and the bridge has been destroyed.
So, we forgot about that. So fucking good. Way better than the first movie's bridge sequence.
Oh, way better. It looks like he's in a goddamn jungle. It looks like that's where the fucking Predator Arnold Schwarzenegger battle goes on in this fucking shot. But again, another great battle cry when he's out of the car and he fucking punches the car and just, nah! Mm-hmm. He's fantastic at conveying, like, defeated, pissed off. Like, you sons of bitches, what have you done to me? The only one that's not as good is his nose at the very end of the movie. Not as good, I feel, as his hand getting cut off or the bridge being washed out.
Mm. Yeah.
It's okay, but it's not great. I guess we get that foretold because they're looking at the pages and they're like, this guy was supposed to, you know, take care of all this back then. Mm-hmm. Like, well, he didn't do a good job. Shit, that's me.
Yep. I guess
he's realizing in that moment going, oh, shit, it's me. It was always me.
I did kind of want to, you brought up the vortex, which is very, you know, Monster Squad vortex thing going on in this movie.
That always thought it looked great. How do you think that was shot? That shot where he's flying, like, we get a shot of him, like, sideways flying towards it.
I think he's on a wire, just, you know, and they just spun him. And they spun him.
I probably did a really good job
with the fog. Yeah, stuff.
That just looked great. Him getting sucked into it, and that side shot of him is. I'm
a big fan of stuff like that. You know. That's obviously not a matte painting, but that's most likely rear projection, you know? Most likely, if I had to pick how they did that, is just rear projection, and it looks great.
It does.
There are a few things, like you said, with him spinning and the background being all weird. Those not so much, but him heading directly for the vortex, all that stuff's top-notch. Same thing with him when he's spinning and all the trees are hitting him. And I think that was all practical in camera. They just really spun him and then had PAs, including Sam Raimi, just throwing slapping branches. The shit out of him with it. Yeah.
Just straight up, just throw branches at him.
Man, what a fun 8 hours, as long as you weren't the one spinning.
yeah, not getting hit by branches by this guy that's going to put you through torture as hell the entire time, because that's just... That's how you treat your buddies. You know, like, we can put them through hell because they're our buddies, and that's what they're there for.
Yep. Yep, they won't complain. Or if they do complain, we'll still be friends.
Well, speaking of complaining...
Oh, boy.
Are you ready to hear about a few complaints about Evil Dead 2? Some folks that didn't like it one bit? So much so They had to just get onto the place that is the place to go for true one-of-a-kind film critiques, the Amazon one-star reviews.
Hated it.
Normally we have a filler name for this type of username, but I think this is consciously done. This is from Prime Customer.
All right.
On June 22nd, 2021. One star, not worth watching.
Dang. That's it?
Yeah, just cut and dry, not worth watching.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, one of our all-time favorites from Freddie L. Howard on September 28th, 2018. He says one star, I did not order this.
Who are these people and why do they get free movies?
Yeah, how are they so lucky that someone has gotten copies of movies?
For free?
Yes, I've been purchasing shit off Amazon for years now. Not one time has a movie showed up and been like, I didn't order this, I swear. And at this point, the wife wouldn't believe me anyway. I was like, I didn't buy this, I swear to God.
That's some Ninja Turtles 2 shit with Kino just showing up with a pizza. I didn't order any pizza. Yeah, well, the guy next door did, and he wasn't home, so you order it all the time. Like, that's what I want, is that someone orders a movie who lives on my block, and then they just don't answer the door, so then the mailman's like, you like movies? Here. Where's that?
We need to just put that in a movie. That's a nothing. That's a throwaway scene I just want in a movie now that we make. Just, oh, man. But yes, the fuck's up with some people get all the luck, man. People get all the luck. So, next time we have John Washer. March 19th, 2020. If he'd waited, it would have been March 20, 2020. He says one star, awful. Literal trash.
Wow. So bad.
So horrible. Next up, we got Naomi, which is I Moan Backwards. On October 22nd, 2021, one star, bad. Not everything needs a sequel.
Ooh, so that's the whole review, huh?
That's the whole review. That one hurt a little bit.
Yeah, that's not... I don't like that one.
I've read a million one stars. That may be one of the first one that's like, ugh, that one actually kind of hurts a little bit.
Because that cut deep.
We got Ron B. on May 11th, 2019. He says one star, boring and dumb. Really dumb movie. Don't waste your money.
Daggum dumb.
One person. Actually, most of these reviews, at least one person found helpful. Much like Christopher Robinson on May 10th, 2015. Says one star, don't do it. Snooze fest. This was boring. I turned it off after about 15 minutes.
What the seriously? Fuck?
So 15 minutes. Where is he in this film? Is he? He's got to be right at the
workshed.
I was gonna say the severed head.
It's about there.
Getting thrown around like that's where he decided. I'm not doing any more of this.
This isn't exciting enough.
You know what? This is just not working for me.
This is real boring. This fucking severed head body with a chainsaw battering Bruce Campbell. That's boring. Get it out of here.
So our returning ever faithful Rondale Dale Branch on December 21st, 1999.
Wow.
So this guy's gearing up for Y2K. Figures,
yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Figures the computers are going to crash in like a week. So he's got less than a week to tell us what he thinks of Evil Dead 2 before the world ends. Gosh, what a time to be alive. Five people found this helpful, by the way, in 23 years ago almost now.
23 years ago.
Jesus Christ. We're coming up almost on the silver anniversary of this review.
Yeah, sidebar, Jason X just turned 20 fucking yesterday. Oh. And I was like, I was messaging Anthony and I was like, we skipped school. We skipped school to go see Jason X twice. Like, remember that? 20 fucking years ago?
2 decades ago. On this very day.
My spine remembers 20 years ago.
We played hooky. Yeah, our bones are about the only thing with a memory that's... yeah, that's no bullshit.
Yep.
But back to this review of 23 years ago. 1 star, sequel heaven, make room. Lead character from the first is back. But this time, the entire film has a different plot. Now, he only came up to the cabin alone with his girlfriend. And as the basic events from the first take place, a group of people stumble onto him. And the whole thing falls apart. Pretty stupid sequel turns whatever scares it had had to give into silly putty and just goes for the motor oil gore that doesn't work. The result is one of the worst sequels of all time. The only sequence that with any laughs is the part where the room is laughing at him.
Dude, I don't know that I've ever heard worst sequel ever, like, in the same conversation with Evil Dead 2, ever. In the history of ever. You think this guy's just trying to be, like, edgelord, I guess, in 1999?
You know, no, I totally can believe it. I think this franchise, to some, is as divisive as anything. I feel like there's people who love the Evil Dead and are, like, so, like, over Evil Dead 2 and don't want nothing to do with it, or Army of Darkness. Then there's folks that are like, Army of Darkness is fucking fun. The Evil Dead, not as fun. Don't like it. I'm not going to watch that one as much.
Well, you and I both are kind of guilty of that with this franchise. Is, like, we know what we like, and there's not a bad one in the bunch, but, like, there are certain moods you have to be in for each of these entries.
Yeah.
You know, so... But I don't know that we would ever take to the internet to be like, fuck this movie, because
we're not in the mood for it. The Super Mario Brothers defense.
Yep.
Or logic works for everything. We're like, we just accept it. Mm-hmm. So, to round out the 1 stars for Evil Dead 2, we have Slobbo the Clown.
Oh, boy.
On December 27th, 2001.
Tell me he gives it a 5-star because his name's Slobbo the Clown.
1 star, this is hilarious. Unintentionally hilarity? Well, this is the best. It's so bad, it's good. Bruce Campbell, perhaps the only thing he says in the film is, no! You'll love it.
You'll love it. I feel called out.
So no, I don't know what the Slobbo the Clown thinks about it. Maybe it is a 5-star. Maybe he's ass backwards, but it sounds like he enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't rate it that way.
Right. You'll love it, though. Yeah. Your kids are going to love it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he's Slobbo so sophisticated that those lower beings out there, i.e. us, would enjoy such silliness like this.
Yes.
He's one of those Evil Dead 2 trolls. He likes the Evil Dead. Hates the sequels.
Yep, there you go.
It's well, out there.
Now that we're done with the Amazon 1-star reviews, what does that mean, Evil?
Time to lace up the boots, grab yourself a bottle of water, cue up the Motorhead, because it's time to play the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It's all about the game, and how you play it. Legend has it, it was written by the Dark Ones, Necronomicon Ex Mortis, roughly translated Book of the Dead. The book served as the passageway to the evil worlds beyond. It was written long ago when the sands ran red of blood. It was blood that was used to ink the book. In the year 1300 AD, that book disappeared.
Whoa, you really went for the gusto. Very good, Lemmy. Oh my
God. We'll all go in together. I am the curious one.
Well, that's right. It is time to play the game. And if you're new here, welcome. And you probably don't know what the game is, so here is a brief plot synopsis of the game. The game is, in and of itself, a deep cut. So, what you have to do is pick a prop from the film that we are covering, but it has to be a deep cut. And since we're covering the Evil Dead franchise, you can't say you want Ash's chainsaw hand, you don't want the Delta, you don't want the Necronomicon. Those are all low-hanging fruit, and they are not acceptable answers. So, as Evil likes to say, you gotta go deep, or go...
Go masturbate.
That's right.
In a back room.
While Professor Nobi watches you.
Yeah.
That's gross. I went first last week, Evil, so I'm putting you on the spot and making you go first this time. But boy, there are plenty of very oddball props in this film.
Plenty of things. Which, again, I'm always feel like I'm double dipping because I want two things. But the first one I had was that popped in my head that I'm gonna go with is give me Freddy Krueger's glove.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice roundabout way to get that glove.
Just so I go, like, oh, you got Freddy Krueger's glove. Oh, this is not from A Nightmare on Elm Street. This is from Evil Dead. Because for Eagle Eye fans or not so Eagle Eye fans, there's two shots where the Freddy Krueger claw is hanging in this film. It's hanging over the door frame in the work shed. And it's also hanging on the left side of one of the little mini door that's in the basement, right next to where all the gourds are hanging, is where a Freddy Krueger glove is hanging. And that's another a continuing thing between Wes and Sam. But if I wasn't able to take the glove, which I'm going with the glove, but I totally, in a side thing, I was wanting the other half of the double barrel shotgun that gets cut off.
Oh, nice. Just very nice.
Just because that was a fun discussion just recently, because as of recording time of this, Evil Dead 2 is streaming on Shudder.
Shudder.
And it's not a movie I get to put on very often, but streaming I can get away with it. And that scene came up where he cuts the double barrel shotgun with the chainsaw. And the wife turned to me and goes, is that even possible? And I'm like, I don't think so, unless that's a Benford 6100 power saw. You can't just cut steel with a chainsaw like that. That clean too, like just a click and bang, hit it with your elbow. But that wouldn't be my backup, but I'm gonna take the Freddy Krueger glove just to throw everyone the fuck off and like not from Elm Street, this is from the Evil Dead, motherfuckers.
I'm as real as a donut, motherfuckers. You were on a horsey.
Spawn Ranch.
Little Once Upon a Time in Hollywood references. Deep cuts. Actually, those technically aren't deep cuts because that's sort of still a new movie. So there.
I'm still putting it in that category.
Yeah.
That's still shit I'll say to somebody at work and just get blank stared at from. So it counts.
Yep. Man, I'll tell you, there's plenty of weird props in this, and I think I want to stick with my my motif from the first film. So what I think I want is Linda's severed head. That's what I keep thinking of the most, with those little tiny sharp teeth. And then the other thing, which I was really surprised you didn't pick this, but I don't know how much you love this sequence, but I think this is probably one of the best sequences in the film, and it got brought up in that one-star review where everything's laughing at him, and part of me just really wants that deer head. I think that deer head would be like an excellent creepy-ass prop to have.
That's a weird scene, but my favorite of all that is that lamp.
Oh, God. Sounds like Johnny Five. Yeah, or one of the books that just got like a little air bladder in it, so it looks like it's fucking laughing.
I love that making of part of that behind-the-scenes stuff where they're like trying to figure out how a book would laugh.
Right.
They're just like a book like that. Like flapping a book up. Like that's somebody's day at work.
I How do you think a book would laugh? Yeah, I just imagine them getting like super high in that fucking.
I really can't wait for when that day happens where I just get that Snapchat from you and like, how do you think a book would laugh? And I give you just a quick response immediately right back, like not even thinking twice about it.
What I want to happen is, I mean, I know there's an Evil Dead documentary that's coming out.
Really, another one?
Yeah, not about the fans, like about the franchise.
Mm.
What I would absolutely love is if KMB gave us all of that behind the scenes footage, because you know we've seen snippets of it in all of our special features, but give me 6-8 hours of fucking like creating the effects for Evil Dead.
I know on one though, like they show their own movie they made of like a baby doll that is out to kill them.
The reanimated baby.
Yeah, the reanimated baby, because they're just making up goofy shit while they're just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. So I think part of me wants that deer head, but I think I'm just gonna go with Linda's head. So
none like a little head, eh, Padre?
Hey. Vampires reference, deep cut.
Yeah, that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
Wait, now hold on. The regular deer head, or the deer head that's possessed and like head turned and like got the fucked up eyes?
The possessed one with the weird eyes, because that thing's creepy and hilarious at the same time.
I think that one would fuck with you if you hung it up in your house. Like in the middle of the night, you'd be looking at that and like, you'd want to do like in House, like where he throws a fucking sheet over the swordfish. Like, I don't want to look at this all the time.
That thing, that deer head's definitely creepier than that swordfish, though, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if I want that in the house.
Right.
It's pretty up there with like Reagan from The Exorcist shit. I just like, cool, but I don't necessarily want to look at that all the time.
Bad juju with that thing, huh? You think that thing would creep you out?
I mean, picture that in a room. You imagine opening a door to a room. You have that deer head on the wall. The other side of the wall, you have that fucking swordfish. In the middle of the room, you got that crucifix Reagan with the head that turns around backwards looking at you.
Yeah, that's a pretty creepy room.
Yeah, that's hell. That's pure hell in one room.
And then there's just speakers piping in babies crying, and then I would just run.
No, well, for you, it'd be the speakers piping in the witchboard theme music. Then the door locks behind you.
That theme song makes me mad. Babies crying scares me. I do not like babies crying.
That's the human nature to want to comfort and stop the baby from crying. That's why it upsets and
suffocating
bothers
us. By suffocating. Well,
sure, that works too. Either way, it's not crying anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to comfort it.
Then the room just starts getting rained on by cheese dust.
Gross.
Now we've made Roger's purest of hells.
Yes. And there's sour milk and tarantulas everywhere.
Oh. We've altered the deal. Pray we don't alter it any further.
But on that note, we've covered pretty much everything we want to cover. If you are new to listening to us and figuring out where you can follow us, you can look up our Discord. You can find us on YouTube, 3B Video. We have a 3B Video Facebook. We have Patreon, Discord, blah blah blah, all of these crazy places. Find us, let us know your deep cut prop for this film. Hell, leave a comment on Spotify or rank us on Spotify or however the fuck that works. I don't even know.
I don't know how you rank. I know there's like an iTunes ranking, which if we're on there, rank us on that shit.
Yeah, we're like almost 50 episodes deep and I just still don't know how people can get in contact with us. But
I'm definitely looking forward to when we start putting a shit ton of ads on here that people want to fast forward through to get to the main show. But those ads will be paying us serious money, which if you want it to stay ad free, you pay us money.
I don't know anything about this ad stuff. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Because after all, there's a lot of movies out there and somebody's got to watch them. So why not us, right?
Let's head down into that cellar and carve ourselves a witch.